Trusting you, yes, to obeying you. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. Well, good evening to each of you by the very means of internet radio. You're tuned in live to the Six Eyes Motivational Monday with yours truly, Pastor Kenneth Bonnet. I'm coming to you live from the beautiful city of Memphis, Tennessee. Here in the good old U.S. of A. Thought for you today is Isaiah 41, verse 10. Don't be afraid, for I am with you. Do not be discouraged, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will hold you up with my victorious right hand. Amen and amen. Take that with you throughout your evening, throughout your rest of the day, next day, and allow that word to bless you. We're going forward at this time here on the network.
What's up, family? What's good?
Hey.
Why y'all looking all sad? Mary here, Ruben, everybody in the cup, we ready to do this?
Nah, man, everybody's running late.
Are you serious?
Yes.
And I hope they make it.
Oh, they make it. They may be late, but they'll make it.
They better make it, because we've got a lot to do.
My folks and friends, listen to these words. See, God saved me from myself when no one else was around. And it was only by His grace, His mercy, His favor, 'cause I know I don't deserve
times told. So when I was just a sinner left in the cold, he needed a second chance, save me from myself, came to my rescue when I needed help.
What is going on?
Good question. I think Pastor Bonnet must have muted himself.
I did very much. And I've been talking for the past few minutes. So thank you, Miss, our brother Six, for speaking out, because I was just speaking to you all, and I was wondering why y'all were silent. Amen. But so let me just recap what I just said. Good evening, everyone. That was Dietrich Hatton, and Love Him Like I Do. Amen. And in loving God like we do, praise the name of the Lord, in loving him like we do, it is our job to fulfill the purpose in which he has given each of us to do. And tonight I want to encourage everyone to have this talk back function as we conclude our monthly emphasis on purpose. There's some questions I have tonight that I think that we as believers need to be able to answer or ask or both to the world abroad, because all of us are planted in many different places for many different reasons, and we come in contact with a variety of kinds of people with different theology, different mentality, different understanding, different belief for one reason or the other. And so if we are to be effective in this world, we must understand some things to help others. It's hard to fix anything if you don't understand the purpose of the thing. It's a challenge to make something whole if you don't know what it's supposed to look like before it was broken. So as we as born-again believers, those of us that are calling ourselves Christians, those of us that have accepted the blood atonement of Jesus Christ for the pardon of our sins, we have a charge and a mandate to go and do the same and help others to discover who Christ is for their one self. And so I got a few questions tonight that I would like to put on the table. And as I put it on the table, if you have a question around this question or a statement concerning this question, please do not be afraid to make the statement of your question. So this is a non-judgment zone. Even if what you may say may, it should be a direct answer, a direct understanding from a believer standpoint. No judgment zone. In other words, we're here to just illuminate. And so if you feel that you have to be the devil's advocate, go ahead. But what we want to do is we want to be able to look objectively at these questions and take an honest approach at these questions, because people really have them. I'm going to give all seven of them, and then we're going to come back to number one. Question number one, and that is, do you believe in life after death? Very, very straightforward question. One that gets right to the heart of the matter. Do you believe, or do you know, if there be life after death? That's something that many people have no answer for. Well, you and I, as believers, we have this answer. We know this answer. And if we don't know, we should know. Amen? Number two, what do you know? What do you know or think about what happens after death? Again, one of those questions that goes straight to the heart of the matter. What do you know or even think that happens to a person after they die? Question number three. Do you believe in heaven and hell? Do you believe there's a physical, actual heaven? And do you believe there's a physical and actual hell? Question number four. If after death, these are the only two options, heaven or hell, where are you going after you die? I think this is one we need to draw stars around, highlight in yellow. And that is, if after death, these are the only two options, heaven or hell, where are you going to go when you die? Now, number five goes back to the heart of that one. And that is, why do you believe it? Why do you believe you're going to one or the other? Number six, what guarantee the death do you have for your final destination? In other words, if you believe one or the other, and it is your desire to go to one or the other, what guarantee do you have for that final destination? And number seven, you believe. And I think we have to really prepare ourselves to give an answer for this question after the people have dealt with the previous six. I think it's very important for us as believers to be able to guide, at least in the genesis of it, someone after this question here. If what you believe wasn't true, would you want to know it? Because you're going to have a lot of people that's not going to believe like we as born-again, baptized believers believe. They're not going to have the same fortitude or resolve that we have or confident that we have in the blood of Christ. And so we have to be able, and we want to be able, we should be able to help someone walk that course. And so, because this is a basis of faith. And before we jump right into it, faith is not the absence of information, contrary to any popular belief. Some people say, yeah, well, you just got to have blind faith. Blind faith and ignorant faith is not the same thing. God do not desire us to be ignorant. So faith is not the absence of information, but it is the acceptance of information given. You know, you see a chair, and the purpose of that chair is to allow someone to rest, to sit on it. But if you didn't understand the purpose of the chair, if you didn't know the chair was there for you, you can need something all you want, but until you have the information of the functionality of that chair, you can never trust that chair to do what it was designed to do. You don't need a degree in chair making. You don't need a degree in how the chair was formed and who made it from the beginning and none of that. All you need is the understanding that the chair was designed to give you rest. And so if you be tired and want to take the load off your feet and you see a chair, your faith is that the chair is going to do exactly what it was designed to do, what its purpose to do. And see, those are the basics of faith. And faith in God, faith in Christ, is to understand he was designed to redeem us. From the foundation of the world, his purpose was to redeem mankind back to himself. And we'll come back to it. But throughout the whole world, there are many teachings about the existence of God. We must decide what is true and what is not true based on the information given along with what we have personally experienced concerning the existence of God, so that we may be able to share it with others. Once again, I'm encouraging you to interact with me on this evening as we just have a round table talk about, do you believe in life after death? Brother Six, I hear your voice. So, want to say good evening to you, sir.
Good evening, sir.
Amen. And thank you for speaking out, because I had thought I was live, and I was, but I also was muted. So in this world, it's a fact that we need somebody to help us to be heard.
It happens. It happens to all of us. I was waiting. I said, let me see if Wolfgang is going to jump in there. And, you know, but it happens.
And I tell you, I was in a full dialogue. I'm like, they ain't saying nothing. Okay. Missionary Ken, how you doing this evening?
Now take yourself off mute.
I'm doing decent. Amen.
Amen. With the help of fixing yourself, I want us and the women are welcome to chime in. And as I'm looking at the board, anyone else that call in, I will open their mics up. And I just want us to have this type of open talk. And once again, this is a no judgment zone. This is not nothing where it's going to be a better answer, a right answer, a wrong answer for say. But this is us being how should we respond to the world, and this is to help us to be better witnesses for the Lord. I believe with everything that I am that it is one of our primary jobs as believers is to share our faith with others. And so one of the things is just knowing how to ask the right questions and to help people make a conscious decision about what we call faith in God, faith through his son, Jesus Christ. So that first question, I mean, have anyone, and let me direct it this way to get it jumping off here, have anyone asked you the question about life after death? Have anyone ever asked you that? Have you yourself thought about that? What are your thoughts concerning the very nature of that question? Do you believe in life after death?
Well, myself, my parents, we all talked about it. My sister and my brother and I, not so much in depth talk, but kind of like mixed emotions, because in one breath I believe that your heaven and hell is here on earth. It's what you make it while you live.
Okay.
We have in a day 1,460 minutes in a day. We have 8,760 minutes in a year, and it's all what you do with those minutes each day. God breathed breath into your body to wake you up. So I believe it's what you make it. Now, I would like to believe that there is how they depicted streets paved in gold, you know, a house with many mansions. If it wasn't so, I wouldn't have told you. If it wasn't so, I wouldn't have told you. I'd like to believe that. And nobody's ever came back and told us. So this is the depiction that we have in our mind. And it's something to shoot for. So I say, if it is, that's great. But I'm going to have my heaven here where I live. And that's pretty how me and Papa and Mama Six Eyes thought. I can remember sitting in the kitchen with Daddy. We were drinking coffee and eating zucchini bread.
Uh-huh.
And if you haven't tried that, one little piece of zucchini bread, a little bit of butter with coffee, excellent. But him and I, we were sitting in the kitchen talking. And this was the time when Prince had just passed.
Cool.
And we were sitting talking, and you know he's a good artist, and you know we got the concert, we talked about that. But my father said, you know, son, he say, when it's my time, I would just like to hear a job well done, my son. Now, I did not know that my father was sick until July. Now, this was in April, so I'm just sitting here. We're having general conversation. And, he said, why he lived. And, when his time come, to depart this life, he would just like to know that he did everything while he lived on earth. And that he gets into the pearly gates. And, Lord Jesus said, job well done, my son. Take your final rest. And that's where we left it. Later on in life, later on, you know, after father passed, you know, I got to keep mom together. And she definitely was a woman of God. My father was a woman of God. But
man of God.
We just came to the conclusion that whether it be or not, it's what you make it while you live. The conclusion that we come up with. And like I said, sister and brother, not so much in depth, because, you know, my brother left here in 96. And, you know, he too believed in the Lord. But we just never really got into a deep discussion about it, you know, and neither did my sister. But, you know, but that's
okay.
That's it.
That's real good. And again, this is a just free zone. No judgment. I have no judgment for the matter, unless we're talking about your Apple phone. And since we're not talking about your Apple. How did you face that the first time that thought come across your table, whether it was for personal or in concert of communicating the gospel to others? Do you believe in life after death?
Well, before I got saved, okay, I was always taught, even as a young kid, I had gone to the Church of Christ, where we're not talking about Mormons, we're talking Church of Christ, where they baptized people, and that was their salvation. You had to be baptized in order to be saved. Then in the Catholic Church, I was always taught that there was a heaven, and in the Catholic Church, they taught purgatory. There was a place there where you had a chance yet to get out of so-called get out of hell free card. You know, if the priest and them would pray you out of hell, if the indulgences were paid to the priest and he would pray you out of hell. But then after I got saved, I always knew, either case, from being a kid up to after I got saved, I always knew there was a heaven, okay? And
okay.
The Bible teaches there's a heaven. The Bible teaches there is a hell. So I have to go by God's word, okay? God's word teaches there is a heaven, there is a hell, there is an afterlife. Jesus said it. I believe it. That settles it. Because he ought to know, because he's the one that was there in the, quote, afterlife, unquote, long before he came to this world to save sinners. So he knew about it. And then when he came here, he talked about it. So he ought to know what he's talking about.
What you say, I like it. Yeah, I like it. I love it.
I mean, he knew about it. He knew about it. He experienced it. So when he talked about it, he was talking about what he experienced. So I have to trust somebody who's been there, done that.
Amen. I like that.
I have to trust what the person just said has been there. I mean, like if you tell me you've been over to McDonald's and you've tried their Big Mac and you tell me it's good, well, if you've been there, I have to trust what you say.
That's right. Until I experience it for myself. Amen.
Right. And then when you go, but if you haven't been there, I can't trust what you say, because if you ain't been there, how am I going to know what you're saying is true?
Now, Missionary Kid, I don't know if you realize what you did. You really finished the whole teaching just in that analogy by itself, because apart from every single leader, teacher, prophet of any organization, of any religion, only one that bear witness from where he came from, and he came and he verified to us those things do exist, and then
by a witness of 500 or more souls experienced him ascend back from where he first descended, even though he came in through the womb. And so Christianity is not a quote-unquote religion, but it is the faith that can actually perform faith, because our leader of our faith has already proven it. He proved to us that he had power over life and death. Matthew 28:18-20 tells us, he said, "And now all power is given unto me of life and death." And how was he able to say that? Because they witnessed him die on the cross. They witnessed him take 39 lashes with a whip that had both bone, glass, and metal tied to the tips ends of it. So it wasn't just leather. So every time every time the Punisher would make take a lick, it would hit the body of Christ, pulling back both skin, blood, tissue, and just his bones wasn't broken. We know it didn't break his bone, but we knew it pierced his skin, and it tore in through his muscles, tying those licks would hit him. So the people knew. And when the soldier took a spear and stabbed him in the side, they knew that blood and water flowed from him. So they knew that the crucifixion itself was designed to cause a man to suffocate, because his chest would cave in. He wouldn't be able to breathe. And so they experienced this man die. And so we have what we call the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They bear witness for us not just the birth of Christ, but the death of Christ, the burial of Christ, and the resurrection of Christ. I didn't intend to go that far, but the way you laid it out, Missionary Ken, you took me back to the Baptist side. Amen. But that was so important. That was so important. For us to understand. So what we're talking about. So is there life after death? Brother Six, you said, you know, I heard of people talking about making heaven on earth and all of that, and life can be hell on earth and all of that. That's good. And to some degree that can have some merit. But it is not the literal heaven, and it is not a literal hell. We know according to Scripture that hell is a place where the fire continue to burn. We also know that hell is in a constant state of growing, because all the souls that are being condemned there. The Bible said hell has enlarged herself, and this long before we get to the New Testament. And so the question is, do you believe? When we're talking to people that may be an atheist or agnostic, that's the first part of the conversation Because if a person don't believe in life after death, Christ may not benefit anything for them. And so we have to ask the questions, why do you believe there's nothing after death? So that's what promotes the second question, is what do you know or think? And Brother Six, you said no one has come back and told us. Well, I wish that was true, but we do have testimonies of people, what we call near-death experience, people that have died. One testimony in particular was a man that was literally blind. He had gone blind. He was born sighted. Because of some illness, he became blind and was not able to see. And he had had a heart attack, and he was on the operating table. And he had literally died on the table. At the moment of his death on the table, he saw himself rising, his spirit rising above his body, and he was able to look down, and for the first time in many years, he was able to see color. He was able to see the color of the shirt of the surgeon that was doing this emergency surgery, trying to preserve his life. He was able to see the different people that was in there to the point that he was able to describe them. And he hadn't believed in hell. He was in denial of it. And his body, his spirit descended to the lower parts, and he experienced hellfire. He experienced the screams, the suffering, and the place of torment. He gives a description of not being able to see, but being able to hear. And
Pastor Bonnet, can I join in here real quick? A real good book in six. I could actually get you the talking book number for it, so you can find it on Bard, the site for us blind
guys.
It's by Dr. Rawlings. He was a cardiologist, and he described many people that he had treated and that had many near-death experiences, and a lot of them had talked about how they went to hell, as well as many that went to heaven. So this is a real good book, and it talks about that.
And listen, he has documented cases. He literally took the book that he's telling you about. He literally documented these cases where people was dead. You know, usually if you're on the table and you're that dead for more than 5 minutes, they consider you, they say your brain cells start to die off, so on and so forth. These people was dead on the operation table. They were dead. They were declared dead. And by some miracle, while not being any more for them working on them anymore, some had revived on their own. Their heart began to beat. And many of them, and he tells in his book, many of them comes out of it screaming and hollering because of the flames. And but this particular man who was blind, he was hollering and screaming, and he asked, they asked him what's going on. They try to calm him, and he tells Dean on the table, and he describes what the person, one of the persons was wearing, color and all this. And they knew he couldn't see. They knew he was blind because many that are blind, you know, they are blind because of how their pupil look, that it doesn't dilate, doesn't have the tools anymore to allow visual stimuli. And he was able to describe, so they knew as he was sharing these things with them, and then later on, that cardiologist interviewed him in detail and took down his testimony, and many others like him. So we've had people that did not believe in Christ, that was that had other religion as their background, Hindu, et cetera. And each of them that had the what is called the near-death experience have come back talking about the torment of hell. And so there are countless documented cases where people have shared here. One of my mentors who's gone on to be with the Lord, elder, he was our senior elder, Elder Billy Fox Pippen. Years ago, can't tell you how long ago, probably been about maybe close to 15 years ago, the Lord had used me in one of the services as we would preach in the evening, Sunday evenings, and it was my time to preach and minister. And under the unction of the Holy Spirit, I was led to prophesy to several people there. And I remember grabbing him and telling him that I see God turning the clock back 10 years and saying that you should live and not die. It was probably a year later. He was going in for just a regular routine because he didn't want to go to the hospital, but his wife made him go to the doctor to get his physical and all that. And he went in, and they found a blockage in his heart. And they kept him and told him if he had not come, he might have not lived because it could have stopped his heart at any moment. And right after that, he had a fall, which caused that issue to deepen, and they for a moment his heart stopped, and he testifies that he saw the glory of heaven and the angel told him it's not your time yet. So he comes back to the church and he gives his testimony, and something else happened to him within a short time of a year that almost took his life, but he still was here because he had the word of promise from the Lord through prophecy that God said he was turning the clock by for him, that he should live and not die. And so that's how I ended up being over the seniors ministry and praying in our North Memphis location. That's how I ended up doing that, because that was his assignment, and I took that charge, and I was over prayer for every Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. We had prayer there 5 days a week. And so Lord allowed me to do that for about four of those years before I started my own ministry. But God blessed him, and he lived all of these additional years. And so I think it was been a year and probably a year and a half now he's been gone on to be with the Lord. But he came back and gave a testimony of the experience he had doing that occasion. So, yes, Brother Six, there are testimonies of people who have experienced both heaven and hell, and many testimonies comes from those that was not of Christian origin at first. So there's some wonderful testimonies out there. And so it's books like the one that Missionary Ken gave you, Divine Revelation of Hell, and other books that are references to those people who like to read and are interested in testimonials of others and their experiences. But the second question is, what do you know about it? If we come from a biblical standpoint, we know that both what happens after this life is eternal. And my emphasis is on we can never die. There is no such thing as a non-existent. In other words, because you have people that say, well, when you die, you just don't exist no more. And so my information that I give concerning that is this. Is God temporal or eternal? And most that would think about a all-powerful God would classify him as eternal. Then I simply just tell them, the book says that God breathed breath. That means he put his essence to the design of man. And man became not just a spirit now, but a living soul. So if nothing in God, spirit, can die, and he put his essence in us, then the only thing that can die in us is the flesh. That means you, the real you, your spirit, it has a soul. And that soul cannot not exist. It do not die. The death here in the Bible is one of separation. You heard that, Ken? I believe a teaching that death is not a stop of exist, but a separation. You there with me, Ken?
You're right. Go on.
Okay. Amen. Yeah. Walk with me. And so if death is a not, for something not to exist, that means when I die, the only thing that really dies, so for many people that are not saved and don't have hope, to them, the funeral is the last thing. For them, the funeral is the last time that they're going to see their loved one. And so many go to the grave site because that's where they think that their loved one are. And so the apostle told us, he said, I would not that you will be ignorant. Those that die in Christ are merely asleep. And so when you go back to the Old Testament, it teaches about a day of rest. And so when you begin to merge these two teachings together, you're understanding that while we're in this world, purpose of being in this world is to work, to labor. But the goal is to be able to enter into rest, where that the work, the sweat, the heartache that we had to endure in this world was ceased. So that's why in many Christian homegoings, we're talking about them entering into their rest, that their struggle is over, that the suffering or the pain that is over. So when we're ministering to the families and we're trying to give comfort and the person was lame or crippled or sick or had a disease, was in pain, died prematurely because of someone else doing all of these things, the comfort that was ministered to them was one of them now at peace or at rest. And so that was ministered to the family so that they know that now that person who has been separated from this life has now entered into the next life. And so, ergo, when we begin to teach to those that come to the funeral or the service, the homegoing service, we minister to them about heaven and hell. Why? Because some of the people that comes to the funeral are friends, associates, family members, and many may have not received Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. So the idea of heaven is put before them as a goal, and the assurity of receiving heaven as a final destination is only through Christ. This is one of those dogmas that Christianity stands upon, because you have other groups or religion, you can get to heaven their way. Possible. Maybe. But Christ preached a surety. And that's one of the difference between Christianity and, I will say, I dare to say, all other teachings, religion, philosophical, otherwise. And so, moving on, statement number four, if after death, these are the only two options, where are you going? So right now question. So if I say six, now let me pick on Ken. because he got I know him. Ken, when you die, sir, where are you going? And don't tell me.
I know. I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, 100% for sure, that when I die, I'm going to be with Jesus Christ, because I've been blood-bought, born again through his blood that he shed on the cross of Calvary.
He answered the question, and he gave his why. So that's the next question, why? Why do you know that? He already stated it. He been blood-bought. In other words, the wages of sin is death. And when we saw death, we think the separation of the body and the soul. But death is the separation of man from his creator, God. And that's the death that the Bible is referring to. Now, some could argue, and err on their side, that, oh, no, we're just talking about the literal death, okay? And some people may argue that. And so, but it still leaves you, if you only argue that sin only causes you to die, you're still left with the question, after death, then what? Am I right about it, Missionary Ken? Wouldn't that still be a question? Well, Missionary Ken is pondering.
You want to repeat the question? I didn't catch it.
Okay. I said, if some may argue that death is not the separation from man to God, because a loving God wouldn't send anyone to hell, they would still be left with the question, if the Bible was only talking about death in the body, if we would still have to answer the question, after death, then what?
Well, it comes down to this. After death, what? Well, you're still stuck with heaven or hell. You got a choice. And God does not send anybody. It's a choice. It's a choice.
That's right.
Your choice. Because God didn't send anybody. He allowed you by your choice to choose. It's like an election. Two people going for president, and it's your vote that's going to break the tie. It's right down to the last vote, and it's your vote that's going to elect that next president. Well, in this case, it's your vote. God voted for you to go to heaven. Jesus voted for you to go to heaven, and the devil voted for you to go to hell. Now, it's your vote that's going to decide whether you go to heaven or to hell. God didn't send anybody anywhere.
That's good. That's a good way. Are you following me, Brother Six? Are you following along with me? I want to make sure that you're following along with me. God bless our other listeners that I have called in. Amen. We're dealing today with a few questions that, as believers, we need to know how to act. Those non-believers, those that may have questions about why we stand, where we stand, what we believe, And so and just to give you a recap, I'm not sure where you came in because I wasn't looking at the board. The seven questions are, do you believe in life after death? Question two, what do you know or think about what happens after death? And number three, do you believe in heaven or hell? That's a yes or no question. Number four, if after death these are the only two options, heaven or hell, where are you going to go after you die? A very personal question. And as Mr. Ken said, you have to choose. The difference here is there's a faith that teaches that if you don't choose after when you're dead, then you can still choose. That's not the Bible. That's not the teachings of Christ or the apostles. We must decide why we are alive, because the Bible says whatsoever state we die in, that's the state that we enter into eternal life in. So if I enter into eternal life apart from God, then when I get there, I'm still apart from him. But if I'm united with him now, then as my soul departs from my body, I'm still united with him then. And later on in other teaching, we'll teach how the Holy Spirit makes that possible. But as for now, that's the overall thought of it.
I'm here. I'm still here with you.
All right. And so it says, and then the question comes down to asking you why. Why do you believe what you believe? Why do you, or how do you know what you know? Here's an opportunity. Back to referring to what you were saying earlier, Mr. Ken, what guarantee after death do you have for your final destination? So if you are believing to be with Christ, and Christ is in heaven, if you are believing that you're going to expand your existence after this life with Christ, what guarantees do you have of that?
Well, I'm going to have to go to one of my favorite quotes from Scripture out of Hebrews chapter 9, verse 12. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in, not 100 times, not a million times, but once into the holy place, having obtained not partial, but eternal redemption for us. So when he went in to the holy place in heaven with his own blood shed on Calvary, he eternally saved me. That shed blood covers my sin when I asked him to save me. It covered my sin. It paid that price that I could not pay for myself. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Titus 3:5 goes on to say, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. So it's by his blood and his blood alone that saves me, and I know that once I've got that blood, it is secure. Amen.
Amen. I'm going to read all of that, what you gave, Hebrews 9, starting at verse 11. It said, but Christ being come.
Hebrews 9:12.
Yeah, I know, but I'm going to read all of the context there, the 11 all the way through 14 or 15. I was just going to read it all just for our listeners' sake. Amen, because, again, you already quoted 12. I'm going to just go back to 11, 12, 13, and read it. It says, but Christ being come and high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats or calves, but by his own blood he entered in once to the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bullocks and of goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifies to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal spirit, eternal, and that's the key word I want to get to our missionary, because you pointed out into it, eternal, that's a constant existence. It don't stop. Eternal spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. And we can go on and on in that, because Hebrews is a wonderful book to teach, especially when it comes down to understanding what a lot of this is about. Amen. So I just wanted to add that to it, because I'm with you. Amen. I'm walking with you, Missionary Kim, because I'm in agreement with what you pulled out. Amen. Even the one in Titus. Amen. But these are why, as believers, and there's other scriptures that fortify what stating, and those are your why. When people say, well, why do you believe this? This is why. And remember I said earlier, faith is not the absence of information, it's the acceptance of information. So here's the information we're giving you. It's up to you to accept it. And so to accept it or to reject it, that option is always yours. To wherever you are, to whomever you are, whatever you're believing, is up to you to accept or reject the truth that has been revealed to you. And so as fellow believers, our job is not to try to make someone believe the truth. Our job is to present to someone the truth. Why? Because any person convinced against their will remain a person unconvinced. There was a story, quite sure you heard it, Ken. Old fella, they just was going to call him John. He was a homeless guy. And there was an old young minister, he kept seeing John here, there, and from everywhere. And one day he saw John walking, and he said, John, where you going? And he said, well, I'm just trying to get to the other side of town. And he said, are you well? You like for me to give you a ride? He said, well, if you don't mind. He said, okay. He said, you know, I'm a preacher now. I may want to talk to you about the Lord. Is that all right? He said, that's all right by me. And so John got in the car with the preacher, and the preacher began to preach and tell John to say, hey, John, I need to see you in church now. And remember, you know, the Lord, he loves you and all of this. And he was ministering to old John, and John said, okay. And he got out the car and got on the other side of town, got out the car. And that preacher went back and said, man, y'all, I got John saved. I got John saved. And he was excited, man. They said, what? Yeah, man. They said, John been drunk. Oh, John been around a long time. John knew the church. He said, John going to be the church today. I got him saved yesterday in my truck, you know. And everybody was looking for old John to come on in the church. Well, church ended and John didn't show up. And later on that day, he saw John out there still picking up cans and walking the streets like he always do. And the preacher said, hey, John, I was looking for you, man. I thought you were going to come to church, man, and show everybody you're saved, man. You repeated after me the sinner's prayer and all of that. And John, what happened? Man, why you let me down, man? I thought you were saved. He said, what's going on? And John said, well, sir, you offered me a ride, and you were kind enough to give me a ride. So when you said repeat after me, I just thought it was just nice for me to just go ahead and repeat after you, since after all, you was the one giving me a ride. And see, so sometimes, you know, we convince people to do something, but their heart ain't there. And John's heart wasn't there yet.
Pastor Bonnet, that kind of reminds me of a story too. Okay, there's this Baptist. This Baptist, he moved into a Catholic neighborhood, right?
Uh-huh.
And so he moves in this Catholic neighborhood, and it was around Lent, and he pulls out on Friday his grill, his barbecue grill. Out come the charcoal. Next thing you know, out comes a steak. And these Catholics around him go, oh, well, he ain't going to do it next week. It could rain, whatever. So they just kind of let it pass by. But the next Friday, it was good weather. Out comes the barbecue grill. Out comes the charcoal. And out comes another steak. Well, that's done it. That's it. So they all get on the phone, pester the priest. Priest says, well, hey, I'll go over and talk to this guy, and maybe I could get him converted, and that'll end the subject. You know, if he gets converted, he can't eat meat on Friday. He has to eat fish. So the priest goes over, talks to this Baptist, and the Baptist, trying to be congenial and try to be nice and to fit in, he says, sure, you can convert me. And the priest has the holy water with him, sprinkles him, says, once a Baptist, now a Catholic. Everything looks good. So priest goes back, tells all the people, and they're rubbing their hands together. Ah, that's cool. That's cool. Next Friday comes, and all of a sudden, out comes the barbecue grill. Out comes the charcoal, and they're thinking, now how in the world is he going to barbecue a fish? But out comes another steak. Next thing you know, the priest is getting deluged with calls. So priest says, hold on, maybe he just didn't understand. So he goes over and talks to this Baptist. He says, what you doing? I thought we got you converted last week. Thought you became a Catholic. And Baptist says, yeah. And he says, well, you're eating meat on Friday. This is Lent. You're not supposed to have meat. You're supposed to only have fish. And the Baptist reaches over with his little brush there, dips it in the barbecue sauce, and he sprinkles a steak, and he says, wants a steak, now a fish. Just like you said, you know, it didn't change that guy's heart. He did what the guys all wanted him to do, but it didn't change his heart. He was still a Baptist.
That's it. That's it. And that's for us to understand that true salvation is in the heart. It's in the heart. Romans 10, 9 and 10. It says, if thou confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in thy heart. See, So it's not enough for somebody just to say the words. The words are good, but how many of us known people, you say, hey, you're not going to do that no more, right? And they promise you that I'm not going to do it no more. Or we been the one to say. You know, that's tell on ourselves. We're not going to talk about other people. How many times have we said in our life, I'm not going to do that no more? Matter of fact, we promise ourselves, this time I'm going to stick to my diet plan. Or this time I'm going to stick to my exercise regimen. Or this time I'm going to be committed to studying every day, such time. And no sooner than we make that commitment with our mouth, then something else was said, and our mouth did something else, and we said something else, and we behaved something else. So it's only with our heart. And so so if thou confess, and that's conditional. I love that. If, conditional. When we see that word if in Scripture, it's conditional on the man, the individual. So if you, the individual, will confess with your heart, with your mouth, the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Here's our, again, how we're adding the why. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness. And with the mouth, confession is made into salvation. And so our souls are saved, our bodies are being saved. So our soul takes that instant, if I can use the word transmission here, but our bodies, because it has adapted and conformed to this world, it has to go through the process of being cleansed from this world. So there's some things that we done pre-Christ to learn to break the habits that caused us in that era before Christ. So if I was a liar, I have to learn how to just tell the truth. I have to practice telling the truth. I have to rebuke lying out of me. That's why Scripture said, if you was a liar, lie no more. So in Ephesians that we were talking about the other day, it said, if you was a thief, then steal no more. And so just because you got saved, don't mean you forgot the bad behavior. You still know the bad behavior. Because some bad behaviors we had, we enjoyed. And it's hard to break something you enjoy. If I'm talking to someone who's dealing with an alcoholic behavior and it's ruining their marriage, their relationship, and all of that, and I'm telling them why they need to put it down, it's hard for them because they enjoy drinking, you know? And so it's up to them to pray that God will help them lose the taste for alcohol or the desire for that. They must pray that individually. They must pray that personally, because only through the Holy Spirit can that person develop a hunger and a thirst for something greater. And that's why a couple of weeks back I preached that he that hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. Because there's some things that we do that we hunger for, but they're not of righteousness. And until we begin to seek the righteousness of Christ, we're going to crave other things. And just what it is, good, bad, right or wrong, we're going to crave other things when we don't focus on the desire or purpose of God for our lives. That happens. Number six. I'm not sure who that caller was because I'm on a different screen now. I don't see the board. But if you have any questions concerning the questions that we've dealt with already, do you believe in life after death? What do you know or think about what happens after death? Do you believe in heaven or hell? If after death, these are the only two options, heaven or hell, where are you going? And number five, why? If you got any questions on those, before I move on to six and seven, feel free to act, or if you got something you want to add, come on with it. Amen. Amen. Well, I'm moving right along. We're not making nobody talk other than Six and Missionary Ken, because I encourage them to partake in this conversation with me. Number six was, what guarantee after death do you have for your final destination? So, your final destination, if you think your final destination is Philadelphia, what guarantee you have to get there? You know, what guarantee? So whatever your final destination is, what guarantee do you have in that? And that question is open for everybody, by the way. And again, this is no judgment zone. If you believe that you're going to make it to heaven, what guarantee do you have? Come on, born again, believe it.
Because I got saved.
Okay. Because she's saved. Saved from what?
Saved from because of Jesus Christ, and he's the way, truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father before him.
Sometimes people say, well, you got saved from missing the bus stop. you got saved. They let you in so you can get in on the final Black Friday sale. You know. So say from what?
We're out of sin once we get saved from into Jesus Christ. Yeah, I don't need to preach. Some of you guys are the preachers.
you just asking a question. You ain't necessarily preaching. Hey, we're all just encouraging, as the Bible tells us, to encourage one another in our most holy faith. Amen. We're just encouraging one
Amen.
Another. I'm not preaching. I'm just encouraging. We're teaching, and we're
Amen.
Learning, and we're going together. Amen.
Amen.
And chose to just have an open conversation, which we are encouraged to do, in our walk with the Lord. Amen. All of us should have a language that will reach others. Amen. Because. Let's be honest. There are some people I can't reach because I am the one that they see on the pulpit. And so they're not going to talk to me. They're not going to. There are some people that's not going to listen to me because they already have a judgment in their mind that I'm not going to understand their pain. And I may not. I may not understand their trial. I may not understand what they're going through. I may not understand why they're choosing to believe what they believe. I may not. Let's just be honest. I may sympathize, but I may not understand. And so on that basis, many people is not willing to talk to the preacher about what they're dealing with. Some don't want. Some had bad experiences from bad preachers. And they don't want another preacher talking to them because in their mind, they think all preachers just want your money. And all I got to tell them is walk past a homeless person that's standing on the side of the road at the expressway corner. They want your money too. You going to avoid them? You go to Burger King, McDonald's, they want your money too. You going to avoid them? Oh, don't go to the grocery store. They want your money too. But some people have that fear for one reason or the other.
Maybe, amen.
Amen. Come on, Dalton, talk.
Hey, Dalton. Hi, Dalton.
Hey. Nancy, they're on. Come on. Merry
and
Christmas
so,
and Happy New Year. How's everyone doing?
Wonderful.
One thing about it, Brother Dalton, if anybody was asleep, you just woke everybody up. Welcome, Happy New Year, Happy Past Thanksgiving, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year. Hope you and Nancy are doing good as we enter into Black History Month. Please make sure you join us. Happy birthday to Nikhil. Her birthday is today. So, amen.
Oh, my goodness. Happy birthday.
Yeah.
We got
all
the
listeners.
Happy birthday. We got to say happy birthday to before the show opens.
Yeah,
okay?
Ken, if you would, and I mean, I want you to act like you're in Carnegie Hall. I want you to really give it to her. Come on. Come on.
Amen.
We're going to say
amen. She's been talking about this all day. Yeah.
Amen. All right, everybody, you got to join in with me here. Here we go. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Sister Nikhil. Happy birthday to you. How old are you?
How old are you?
How old are you? May God bless you.
Sister Nikhil.
Clearly they lost their keys down the hill. Amen. Now, Pastor Bonnet, now that last part, oh, my God. Bro, if I could sing like that, man, I don't understand it.
Well, you know.
I keep telling you, Six, you need to eat a bunch of bullfrog legs.
Yeah, but Six, you have a studio, and you do have, those things called synthesizers, they're voice alternators. You can give yourself a baritone if you really want it now. All you got to do is just and listen. And if you don't have that, all you got to do is you record yourself talking fast and slow it down. And before you know it, you'll go from yay, this is brother.
Oh, man. What you say? Wow.
So that's all you got to do, man.
Slow the talk down.
There you go. There it is. Just slow the track down.
Ken got all of American women melting right now. Oh, my God.
He's spoken for. They, They can melt
I'm
all they
sorry,
want.
Ladies.
But,
sorry, ladies. Everybody all hands upset now. He's off the market, ladies. I'm sorry.
So the roof got him on lockdown. Don't make her laugh.
Hey, they could swoon all they want, but they can't have me.
Man. I'm sorry. Sorry about that, ladies. Sorry about that. Oh my God.
Yeah. Don't put him on the market.
Kenny can sound like Jim Nabors when he wants to too.
Get out of here. Jim Nabors? Get out of here. I don't believe it. Oh, golly.
Everybody's beautiful.
Oh, my God.
In his own way.
What you think?
Like a starry summer's night or snow-covered winter's day.
Oh,
go check
man.
It out. That's how he sings it.
Golly.
Ain't that going to pal? Your neighbors?
Yes.
Yeah. I remember him.
Pastor Barnett, I've never heard
him
singing like that.
I heard his song one time. I'm like, man, that man deep.
Hey, if you want to believe it, check it out. See how I just sung that. Pull up the song, Everything is Beautiful, Jim Nabors, and you'll see I just sung it just the way he did.
Somebody pull that up. I don't know about that. Somebody pull it up. Nicole, pull
he
it up.
Did. I think he did.
We're about to find out.
I think he did.
And that's one of her favorite artists, Ken. That's one of Nicole's favorite artists right there, Jim Nabors.
I'm going to pull it up right now.
What song was it?
Everything is
Beautiful, Jim Nabors.
Oh,
okay.
I can get it for you, Pastor. Don't worry, because I know you got the word open.
Everything.
Okay.
Is beautiful.
And while he's pulling that up, let me make this announcement. Want to send out condolences once again to the Nichols family on the passing of their son by the Memphis cops. So our thoughts and prayers with the family and his friend, the Pacifico Times from the 6 Eyes Radio Network. Also, we lost Cindy Williams today. You guys know her from Laverne and Shirley. So she's up there now with Penny Marshall, the sitcom Laverne and Shirley, where they were in Milwaukee working at a bottling company in the 50s and 60s. She passed away today. Cindy Williams, 75 years old, so our thoughts and prayers goes out to her family at this difficult time from the 6 Eyes Radio Network. And once again, we're always praying for mankind. My family, your family, my friends, your friends, we're always praying from the 6 Eyes Radio Network. Now back to Motivational Monday with Pastor Kenneth Bonnet. And if you're going to listen to us later on,
Jim Neighbors.
Yeah, Ken got all the women in sports.
Snow cover winter's day.
What?
Beautiful.
Oh, man.
In its own way.
What you said?
God's heaven. Gonna find a way.
Wow.
Blind. As he who will not see,
we must not close
our mind, hearts be free. Every hour that passes by, older, look at our good side, older.
At the eyes of the beholder. Thank you, Jim Nabors. That's so wonderful. Amen.
You know what, man? For y'all next anniversary, I got to book him to sing for y'all. It can't have no other way. So next anniversary, I am booking Ken Wolfgang to sing for your anniversary.
Wait, Nicole, you got a whole, he got a whole, he got,
He got practically the whole year to prepare.
Yeah.
He got 11 months.
And anybody's birthdays today, that's may have passed, you will be getting a personalized happy birthday song from Ken Wolfgang.
Yeah,
we're gonna work
that out. I still don't have my soundtrack, my copy of the recording.
I'll be glad to do it.
We gotta work on that. We gotta work on that. Get that sent out. Because I mean, they have been bugging me about that. Where's our birthday song? Where's our birthday song? Listen. I got to get in touch with Ken to get this coordinated. You know? So one more time, Ken, can you sing for Nikhil one more time? Because, I mean, it wouldn't be right if you didn't. Just
right, and
yourself.
This time I'll do it by myself, okay?
Oh, I can't sing with you this time, Ken.
No.
Oh,
Ruth, I want it just to be me so that everybody can hear.
Ruth, I'm going to sing by myself. Ruth, you just sit back and get me some coffee. Okay, honey.
Amen. All right. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Sister Nikhail. Happy birthday to you. How old are you? How old are you? How old are you? May God bless you. Amen.
Amen.
Did y'all hear that part?
Sweetheart.
God bless you. Well, nevertheless, let's take about 10 more minutes here and then finish up, and we'll be, amen. And what guarantees, amen, do you have for your final destination? Have you ever thought about your final destination and what guarantees? If you were getting ready to take an airplane trip or train trip or bus trip, your proof that you can get on board will be your ticket.
Mm-hmm.
It will be something that you knew that you purchased. It will be something that you knew that you personally engaged in, too. Well, unfortunately, you can't buy a ticket to heaven. Unfortunately, you cannot purchase your way into that eternal existence. So what a surety, because, and they say, well, why you can't purchase it? Well, who are you going to pay? I mean, how are you going to pay God for heaven when he don't
how
need
you gonna,
your
How are you
going to
pay God that has everything? All the money is his anyway. So
if the earth is his, and all the fullness thereof, how are you going to pay him? And see, these are questions that they may seem mediocre. They may seem like they're not of great significance. But let me just reword it this way. How are you going to pay me for what belongs to me? You can't.
You really can't.
You cannot pay me. It's like you come and say, Ken, I'm going to take your truck here and appreciate you. You're going to do what? Yeah, and we'll take care of you later. How do you figure? It belongs to me. So if I allow you to use it, it's a privilege to you. You know, GMC makes some good cars. Ford Motors makes some great trucks. Mercedes-Benz makes some fast, very fast vehicles.
Mm-hmm.
Cadillac is a wonderful machine.
Mm-hmm.
I can go to the dealership and purchase that by paying the dealer what they're asking for.
Mm-hmm.
There's nowhere written
mm-hmm.
where there's a dollar amount to get to heaven. This is not Greek mythology. Putting two coins over my eye don't get me into the afterlife. It don't pay the fare.
Amen.
No, it doesn't.
Amen.
It doesn't. But one thing,
listen now. So the existence, I don't need to cover it. Yeah, and so if next world is spiritual, how I figure that I'm going to give him something physical that can't transition to the spirit.
Right. Yeah.
And for the new age people, let me say it like this. They may understand this. That's a different dimension. This dimension and that dimension, this dimension has no value in that dimension.
Mm-hmm.
Although everything in that dimension supersedes any value of this dimension. So how am I gonna pay him?
Right. That's a good question.
So,
he has everything. Yeah.
So this is how when we get, you know, and these conversations that you have one-on-one, these conversations that you're not provoking to start an argument. This is not to prove that you're better, you're worse, you're right, they're wrong. These are conversations to have for questions grew up with. Don't question God. Don't question God. Wait a minute. Hold up. You mean to tell me if I have a legitimate question, I can't ask God? I mean, he ain't afraid of me. Certainly he ain't afraid of my question. So we have to have the right understanding what it means to not question God. Not to
Amen.
Question God is one of reverence. That if God said it, that settles it. So I don't question him when I know that's what he said. If I know mama said wash the dishes, why I got to wash the dishes? That's going to get you popped in the mouth. Because she said that's why you want this. So that's the, you know, but if you ain't never washed dishes before and somebody say go wash the dishes, how am I going to do that? That's what the question is for. And so when you don't know, and what we have to realize that there's a generation that's being raised by television and media who has every false doctrine out there. They sound good. There's a way that seemeth right unto man, but the ends are the means of death. So we have to realize that. But you ask questions too. And so
yeah.
you ask them, what guarantee you have? And if their guarantee is anything apart from biblical scripture, then you move on to this question. If conditional, what you believe wasn't true, would
mm-hmm.
you want to know it?
Mm-hmm.
Now this is where you're going to find out whether to continue on in the conversation or to end the conversation.
So if I may say, so the question that I asked earlier, when you all listened to the podcast again, you asked, I told you, okay, but now asking, is there any guarantee? Well, there is no guarantees in life. You know, we're born, we die. Now, that's guaranteed. But what you do while you're here on Earth, the middle part's up to you. So to get to that magical place of heaven, streets paved with gold, I have to do and apply myself while I'm down here on Earth, do the works of God, and make the most difference in people's lives as well as my own as long as I live. So I got to be doing something here on Earth, not just existing. I have to be living, not just existing. So I got to do the good works to help people. And then I want to hear a job well done as well, as me and my father had that conversation as we drank coffee and ate zucchini bread. That's the ultimate goal. So I just wanted to say that, and I'm complete.
Okay.
May I weigh in on that? That's what you do after you've accepted Christ. But to get to heaven, the Bible says not by works of righteousness, that's the good deed you do, not by works of righteousness, which we, the people, have done, but according to his, God's, mercy, he saved us. It's his mercy. It's him who does the saving. You have to be saved first. Then after you're saved, you become a new creature in Christ. Behold, all things become new.
Okay.
So first you have to be saved. That's your guarantee.
Look at it this way, number six. If I had a home and I said that the only people that are allowed in my home is my family or my children, okay, and you came and knocked on the door, mm-hmm. and you said, hey, I've cleaned up the neighborhood today. Can I come in? I'm going to say, hey, good job. Here's a reward, but you can't come in. Someone else comes and say, hey, I want to come in. And I said, who are you? Three orphanages, and took and raised them up. I'm going to say, good job. Here's a grant. Keep doing the good work. But you can't come in. The equivalent of doing good deeds grants you blessings here. But the entry is for the sons and daughters. The answer should have been when it was asked, why should I let you in? The answer was simple. Because I'm your child. And so, hey, hold. Who playing this music? Hold up. And so the answer is, I'm your child. Why? Because children are heirs. And if you're not an heir, then you're not a child.
Okay.
It means you don't have access. You don't have the benefit or the privilege. So what guarantees you and I to the eternal existence of heaven is to be one with God again, is that we are heirs through Christ. Christ being a son, if he abide in us, then we abide in him. We're one in him. So now, because of the gifting of the Holy Spirit, that Holy Spirit is unified with our soul, and it grants us access because it says we belong to him.
Mm-hmm.
Let me give you this real example. This is something, and this food for thought, food for thought. And, okay. And we're going to move from this food for thought. Over in Eastern culture, where they are really doing a lot of raising of sheep and livestock like that, every now and then a sheep or lamb would die in childbirth. And the ewe lamb that was born, that infant, in order for that infant to live, it would need someone to nurture it. And and when you try to allow that ewe lamb to drink milk from any other female livestock, they would push the animal away because the stench would not be on them. So instinctively, they would deny little infant from nurturing or from consuming milk from them. But what shepherds have learned and taught is when that happened, and there was other livestock that gave birth during that time, they would take the afterbirth from when that child was born, and they would put it on the ewe lamb that lost its mother in birth, and they would pour the blood over that ewe lamb, the infant calf. And now when that infant calf goes to the adult animal to nurture from, they will allow him now to feed because the blood was covering the stench, and it was accepted because it was now known as one of his or hers. When you and I stand before God, the sin in our lives is a stench. I mean, it stinks in the nostrils of God, because our blood is tainted with sin. And God is a righteous judge who judges sin. But when we accept the blood atonement of Jesus Christ, we accept his blood as a smearing, a covering over our blood. So his blood covers us. What's the difference between his blood and our blood is that in life he knew no sin. And he fulfilled life according to the will of the Father. So now when the eternal Father smells us, we smell like Jesus, which gives us access as sons and daughters. And so the benefit that we have is because we are covered in his blood, we are no longer condemned like the rest of creation human creation to die in a devil's hell.
And adding to that point just a little bit more, when you were talking about doing all kinds of good things and whatever, having a way yeah. into heaven, the Bible tells us that all our righteousness, all our good deeds, are as filthy rags.
Yeah.
And when God smells that, because filthy rags always smell, when he smells that, that becomes that stench in the nostrils of God, like Pastor Bonnet was saying. But when Christ cleanses our sins with his blood and we accept him, that's what makes us smell right and smell good.
Amen. That filthy rag, in modern terms, it is a bloody tampon. The rag is the menstrual, which is the old blood that flushes from a woman's body, that cleanses her body. So it was contaminated blood. So our righteousness apart from God is contaminated blood in his nostrils. But the blood of Christ is not contaminated. It's righteous. And it covers us from head to toe. And so now our deeds that we do, when we do them as unto the Lord, they prepare a reward for us because of our obedience, much like any other parent that raised children that obey. Some children, you give to them more because they've done over and above what you asked.
Mm-hmm.
All of your children, you're going to feed, clothe, and provide shelter. That's the gimme. That extra stuff is because of their obedience to what you have commanded them to do and what they are able to handle. Because I don't care how obedient my four-year-old is, I'm not going to give them a $100 bill yet because they haven't learned how to handle that yet. But that 14-year-old, I'm going to give that $100 bill to with instructions. And then that 18-year-old, I give that $100 bill to because by now they know what to do with it. So all of this is a process of development. That's a whole nother part apart from the things that we have shared today. I want to say thank you for participating in the talk back tonight. Conversations like these are good for believers to have. We must discuss. There should be no taboo in our talking about advancing the kingdom of God. Even if we have difference of opinion about certain things, it's important for us to know how the world responds to those questions so that we'll know how to give adequate answers in helping them establishing relationship with God the Father, period. And so let's not be afraid to ask questions or to be asked questions that are legitimate. And if you don't know the answer, please just say, I don't know that answer. Because not knowing a answer does not mean you are not saved. Your salvation is based on Romans 10:9-10. You confess with your mouth and you believe with your heart. And if you've done that, brothers and sisters, according to the text, not according to me, you're saved. Ain't got nothing to do with Bonnet. Ain't got nothing to do with Wolfgang or anybody else.
Amen.
When you personally commit, as the text says, that's your salvation. And that's what's going to carry you to the next life. What you believe. Based on God's word. Because you can believe the moon is made of cheese. It ain't. It's a rock out in space. So based on God's word.
Voice up.
And that's how we live our lives. I want to say thank you to everyone again for participating. Appreciate you, Brother Figs. Appreciate you. Are there any questions before I just end with a prayer? Are there any questions, any concerns, any comments?
I want you guys to pray for Kenny. He's not a real bad cough. You couldn't tell, but he's been coughing a lot. So.
Amen, Sister Ruthie. I'm just grateful to be a part of the learning tonight and just being here every time we come together and learning with Thus Saith the Lord. So blessings to you, Pastor Bonnet, and to you, Missionary Wolfgang, and to everyone present and even coming in on the rewind. I'm just grateful because these are the essentials, amen, that I feel make the difference first, the foundational things, before we can even talk about other things that we engage in a day-to-day, a given day-to-day. So God bless you. Amen.
Well, thank you so very much once again. Thank you all for your time and our time is well spent today. And so we're going to close out in prayer. We have tomorrow night word from the King, word of the King with Evangelist Groover, and so we encourage our listeners to tune in. We have this week coming, this Thursday, we have Dr. Doug Quick going to be with us in place of our Jumbo Braille program on Thursday. But we're not going to forget Wednesday, Bible study with Missionary Ken, the talk with Ken and Wolfgang, and Bible prophecy. And we want all of those that can and able to tune in and join the conversation when you can. Amen. I love all you with the love of Christ. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you right now in the name of Jesus. We pray, Lord God, that what we have done this evening, Lord God, have been according to thy will to grow and develop, Lord God, because we know that you're a good father, and like any good parent, you're cultivating the greatness that you have bestowed in us already. You know the gifts, the talents, and the charge that you have given each of us in our lives. And mine may be different from hers, and hers may be different from mine, and his may be similar to mine, but yet still in a different place. Wherever we are planted, God, help us to grow and help us to bloom according to thy own will. All things work together for the good of them that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. And so, Lord God, though we go through times of darkness where we don't understand and we have trouble, God, we are thankful that you're still here with us. You're guiding us. You're not forsaking us. You love us, Lord God. The trying of our temptations, our trials, they come to test our resolve in trusting your word. And so we say thank you, Lord God, as we consider those things, joyful moments to let us know where we measure up.
And we love you today, God. We thank you, Lord God, that you haven't put nothing on us greater than we can withstand. For with all temptations and trials, you have made a way of escape that we may be able to bear it. And so, God, we thank you, Lord God. We may have to run from fornication and flee this and flee that because we're trapped in this or that. But, God, thank you for our feet and our shoes that are laced up when we have to run. But, God, thank you, Lord God, we can run back to you. As Peter, we began to sink in the boat, he called out to you, and you were right there to rescue him and pick him up and take him by the hand, and the two of you walked back to the boat together. And so, God, we thank you, Lord God, that we may from time to time do supernatural things, but when we begin to sink because we took our eyes off of you, you are there to catch us by our hands when we call upon you. And we say thank you, Lord God. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for enduring us, Lord God. Thank you for your patience with us, Lord God. We don't do everything we should do. We haven't been always the best of children. But, God, thank you for not giving up on us. Thank you for your grace and your mercy that renews every morning on our behalf. Thank you, Lord God, that you have been patient to wait on us. We were bold to make you wait. We didn't understand. And thank you, Lord God, for overlooking our ignorance and having patience with us to help us understand. Lord, we love you. We thank you for loving us first. Thank you for teaching us how to love you in return. All these things, God, we give you glory, honor, and praise. It's in the mighty name of Jesus Christ we have accepted our assignment in life, and we thank you. Thank you for this program. We ask that you continue to bless Brother Six and all those that have their individual part in the makeup of the Six Eyes Radio Network. God, we thank you for this platform, and we ask that you continue to bless it, bless our efforts, bless our work. It's in the mighty name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen and amen. May God give you sweet rest. May the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent one for another. In Jesus' name, amen and amen again. I love all of you all. Thank you all for joining in this evening. Truly, it's a privilege and honor to have all of you with us, with me on this program. Thank you so very, very much. Good night. And we'll see you next time.
Amen. God bless. Good night, America.
Have a good sleep, everyone. Love everyone.
Love you all. Yes, good night. God bless. Yes.
Amen.